As you heard Derek mention, the heavy rains overnight are cause for concern as it's still raining outside. The Manoa Stream was rising this morning on this, the 14th anniversary of a flash flood that caused millions of dollars of damage to the University of Hawaii campus. We'll have more about that later in the show. But first, we can tell you about new guidelines for the identification of rat lungworm cases. Two doctors from the UH Medical School's Department of Tropical Medicine, Dr. Vernon Ansdale and Dr. Gerald Murphy, will showcase efforts to deal with the disease on a national stage. A conference on tropical disease and hygiene in New Orleans gets underway this week. Interest in the disease is growing as cases have been discovered in the southern states of the U.S. Dr. Ansdale sat down with us to talk about those new guidelines.
We want to make sure that really the general population and healthcare providers are familiar with what is the right way to diagnose and treat this disease.
On the average, how many cases do we see?
It varies. Last year was 21, which was a lot. Typically, it's about 4, 5, 6, maybe up to 10 a year. So not a lot. I think there was concern last year that the number seemed to be climbing. And this year, I believe we've had about 5. So it may just have been a blip last year.
And we did have a number of cases of little toddlers, I think. Kids are known to put things in their mouths, right?
Yes, unfortunately, that's what we think happens. They're out in the garden playing and, you know, they put them in their mouths or they play with them a lot and then put their fingers in their mouths.
So that's just one thing that people just really need to be careful.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's not easy, but, you know, you really got to be careful, yeah.
So tell us, what's involved in the training that you folks are rolling out?
Well, we basically are planning to go to all the main islands. We've already been to the Big Island in Hilo, and we're also planning to go to the other side, to the Kona side. We're also going to go to Maui, Kauai, and do some presentations here on Oahu. And we talk about the history of the disease, the epidemiology, and then the clinical features, and then what we recommend in terms of how to diagnose the disease and how to treat it.
And so what's the reception been like as you've been out on the Big Island in Hilo?
I think so far very good. I mean, it's almost preaching to the choir when you're in Hilo. The people there are very knowledgeable about the disease, although, you know, they had plenty of questions, so it was good. But I think the guidelines we came out with now gives them a structure to be able to confidently diagnose and treat. One of the things we've learned is that early diagnosis is really critical. Because if you can diagnose it early before the whole thing has developed too much and treat early, then you're much more likely to be able to sort of nip it in the bud.
So the symptoms aren't as debilitating?
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to prevent the serious consequences, the disability, and, you know, very rarely people die from this disease.
And the recovery of I don't know, what's the worst case that you're aware of?
Well, the worst case would be somebody who dies from it. They get overwhelming infection, and by the time it's diagnosed, it's too late, and there's been too much damage done, and so they can die. But that's very rare. I think there's some cases that we've been to the support groups that they have on the Big Island. And there are the people there that have had the disease and have survived, but they're left with varying degrees of disability. And that can go on for months or even years. And when you see that, you realize, gosh, we've got to do something about this disease. We have to try and prevent, you know, we have to try and prevent people getting infected, but you really want people to avoid these severe infections and this long-term disability.
So then the guidelines that you've prepared, was that something that was funded through the legislature?
Yes, it all resulted from Governor Ige called for a task force to look into this. I think there was alarm because the number of cases were increasing. We were getting occasional cases in visitors, and that was alarming the Hawaii Tourist Authority. So the governor called for a task force. And I ended up chairing a subcommittee of that, which was looking into diagnosis and treatment.
Okay, so how long did it take you to come up with these guidelines?
It took us over a year. And that's, I mean, obviously we want to do it properly. But there's not a lot of information about diagnosis and treatment.
Right, you're breaking new ground here.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so we really had to sit down and review all the papers that were out there regarding human cases, regarding experiments done in animals. And then we talked to experts from all over the world. We went to a couple of meetings in Thailand. Thailand is where they have most of the cases of this disease. So we talked to some specialists there. We talked to people at the American Society of Tropical Medicine in Baltimore last year. So getting input from all these people about what might be the best way to do that. And then we had to sit down and, you know, a group of maybe 15 of us, local experts, trying to figure out a consensus on all these issues. Now, for example, in Thailand, cases tend to be less severe than we get here.
Why is that?
Well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but it may be just simply the way that people get infected. They're deliberately eating usually apple snails, and they may cook them a little bit or may just eat them raw. But those apple snails don't have as much of an infection as the slugs and snails that we have here. So people are getting a smaller dose of infection. This is what we think, in general anyway. Whereas here, when people do swallow a slug or a snail, usually accidentally, obviously, they get a much more severe infection.
So the apple snails, we have those here.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I mean, those are in our taro fields.
Yes, exactly, yes.
And so then the other ones that are the worst offenders or the carriers of this thing, they're what type of snails?
The worst offenders are the large African, giant African snails.
Oh, yes, I have those in my garden.
Yes, and also so-called semi-slugs, Parmarian semi-slugs.
The banana slugs? Are they what we know of as banana slugs?
No, I think that's maybe more like a Cuban slug you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Now, these are semi-slugs. They call them semi-slugs because they have a sort of half a shell on their back. So they're not really slugs, and they're not really snails, so they're semi-slugs. But they have a particularly high level of infection. And the juvenile forms, the young ones, can be tiny, almost the size of a grain of rice. So you could easily ingest one of those without realizing it.
And so are these semi-slugs from here, or they're just another one of these invasive species, like the African ones?
Yeah, yeah, they're both invasive species. The semi-slugs came here, I believe, from Southeast Asia. And actually, we got them first on Oahu, and then they appeared on the Big Island, and then they appeared on Maui. It's only a matter of time before they're everywhere, if they're not everywhere already.
How do we make sure that we're reaching out to all the docs so that they know what the guidelines are and they're up to speed on this?
Yeah, I think with these medical education meetings that we're offering in the various islands, I think is important. And then even just, conversations like this, where people may listen to it, and just the knowledge will grow. And I'm a great believer in getting everybody involved. So not just physicians, but nurses, nurse practitioners, medical assistants, and then patients themselves. Patients themselves, that's the easiest way to make the diagnosis. If the patient is thinking about it and thinking, boy, these are funny symptoms, talking to their friends, and they walk into the doctor's office and say, I'm concerned that I might have rat lungworm disease. And then that gets everybody thinking in the right direction.
Oh, interesting. So is the training then the guidelines not just for doctors, it's for medical personnel in general?
I think it's definitely for medical personnel in general. It's certainly not directed at the general public, but obviously general public are welcome to look up our information and read about it. And the Department of Health has good information on their website. I think one of the things maybe to underscore is as part of the diagnosis, it's really almost essential that people get a lumbar puncture. And, I think everybody sort of thinks, oh, lumbar puncture. But it's actually a test that's been around for a very long time. It's a safe procedure, and it's usually very well tolerated. And it's really the only way to get the information we need to decide, is this rat lungworm disease or not? If it's something else, what treatment should I be using, or what other things should I be doing? And it helps to fashion, not only make the diagnosis, but help with treatment.
That was Dr. Vernon Ansdell, one of two University of Hawaii doctors who will be presenting at a conference tomorrow in New Orleans.